So we are in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. We're working our way through Matthew 13, 1 through 23. It's the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is a popular message among preachers, if you don't know. And I think it's because the parable has sort of these timeless themes that resonate universally. The parable has relatable imagery. You know, talking about planting and growing, something that will never go out of style, right? AI is never going to start planting stuff for us. I hope not, all right? And it's presented in perhaps the most compelling, if not the most effective teaching method. Jesus is telling a story. The parable has sort of layered meanings, and the meanings, they all engage the audience. It prompts introspection and demands practical application for its listeners. And though it's 2,000 years old, the sower's parable, its relevance is still persists today. It is a valuable source of wisdom for spiritual growth, and I mean all of life challenges. So we're approaching this passage in a new way for me. Typically, I preach all four soils in one sermon, Bill is a little bit of a kind of a mad scientist. Like, oh, we should do each one. I'm like, okay, can I do a whole sermon about one soil? And turns out I can. So we're doing these one at a time. Last week we talked about the path, and this week we're going to talk about the stony ground. And next week, Alex is going to talk about the thorny ground, and then we'll wrap up with the good soil at the end of the month. So 4 weeks of talking about the parable of the soils. But of course, in the parable, there are sort of three main characters, if you will. There's the seed, which is the word of God. Okay, there is the soil. We humans, or more specifically, our hearts are the soil and the sower. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is the sower. And again, last week we talked about the heart and path. The Bible says the seed that fell on the path and the birds came and snatched it so that it would not penetrate the heart soil. And last week's theme was life is hard. And I know it's not it's seeming like a most inspirational topic, but hopefully we got a much needed reality check. That life is a bit hard. And hopefully we receive some comfort, perhaps, knowing that it's not just hard for you individually. It's actually a little hard for all of us at times. Yeah. And that everything on this side of being with Jesus for eternity, frankly, is hard. It does get better by and by. Amen. All right. We talked about some of the things that make life hard. Of course, we talked about past trauma. Betrayal, disappointment, rejection, living maybe in a growing up in a household with a lack of empathy, or just sort of being in constant environments where people don't empathize with you much. Maybe you don't empathize with yourself enough. Sort of negative influences, self-protection, and frankly, our personality traits. You know, I think I said, for me, I'm a bit of an introvert, and so I like to be alone just naturally, and I get energy from being alone. And so sometimes alone is really good for me, you know. And but sometimes that actually can make life harder for me because I'm alone all the time. You know, I don't think so. I think, man, this is so nice. People, they're all gone, you know. But being alone, you get inside your own head, and God knows there's not a lot of space up there. There actually is a lot of space up there. Anyway, hopefully it was a reminder for you, you know, that while here and now may be difficult, as the old preacher say, joy cometh in the morning. Amen. And hopefully it's a good reminder of why we need to be the ones joining the sower and scattering the seeds. Scattering those seeds generously, lavishly, and abundantly. Because though life might be difficult for us, it is certainly hard for all of those people that are without Jesus. They may not know it, but life is hard. So today we're going to look at the second sower mentioned in this great parable. It's the soil of the the thin soil, you know, that's on top of sort of these thorny places. These stony places. So our title today is Beyond Shallow. Beyond Shallow. Our world is often characterized by superficial and fleeting pursuits. The journey towards spiritual depth and authenticity requires a radical reevaluation of our lives and a relentless pursuit of the heart of Jesus. We have to be introspective and committed to deepening our relationship with God's word and deepen our relationship with one another to move beyond shallowness in all of its forms and embrace our calling for mission and purpose. Let's pray. Father, you are amazing. And God, we know that Father, that you love humans so much, and it's so evident you love humanity. And appreciate Jim saying that we're created in your image. What an incredible and amazing gift you've given us. You're so generous to humans and yet so attentive to them. And you treated us with such dignity. You could have created us in the image of anything, but you created us in your image. You dignified us from the very beginning. And I know, God, that I and many of us, we're not always acting in a dignified way. We're not always acting in a way that shows that we're creating your image. And God, we are sorry for those moments. We're sorry, God, for the thoughts we have that really, God, violate our own dignity as well as the dignity of others. And more importantly, they violate, Father, the dignity of your dignity. But God, I pray that as we reflect a little bit on these soils, God, and think about ourselves a little bit, God, that we never lose sight really of our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers and our siblings or parents or children, Father, those that are so desperately in need of you. And God, help us to really join the work of the sower. We know that you've given us your word, and you've given it to us so lovingly and generously. I sort of imagine as a time when sort of literally copies of the word of God were so rare. And yet we have so many versions and opportunity to read your word. It's with us every day if we have phones, and it can be with us every day in the form of a paper Bible, God, or whatever it is. But God, we thank you for your word. Of course, we can write it on our hearts and memorize it as well. And I pray that we will embrace your word, not just now, Father, with what I'm saying, God, but that the word will continue to resonate with us and speak to us. And Father, we will speak to each other, Father, with your words. Words of encouragement, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. May we speak to you, God, with words of inspiration. We speak to one another with empathy and dignity, God. May we treat one another in a way that absolutely says, thank you, God, for creating me in your image, and thank you for creating the other in your image as well. Help us to do that. We can't do it by ourselves. We need you to do it. Help us. We love you. Help us, God, to move beyond shallow and, of course, closer to you in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 13. We're just going to get after it a little bit, right? We're going to get after it, and I'm going to sit down. Matthew 13. You know, I love church. Sometimes I almost cry every service. I'm a little bit of a wimp now. I don't want anybody to see it. I haven't grown to that point yet, so I kind of put my head down. But I cry almost every service. I look around and I just feel really moved by our congregation. All of you are so incredible. Anyway, I felt good. Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still others fell on good soil, will produce a crop 100, 30, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because this knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time, because when trouble or persecution comes because of it, they quickly fall away. We'll stop right there. We'll read this again next week. Hopefully after 4 weeks of hearing it, hopefully it'll be on your heart all the time. Amen. You know, one thing about these next three soils is they have in common is that each of them, it says they received the seed, and the seed actually began to take root and grow in each of them, unlike the first seed. You know, it's good for us to kind of, we talked about, farming in Israel. Unlike modern farming, when crops are watered using ditches and flood irrigation or sprinklers, anciently, most farmers in Israel practiced what is known as dry farming, with rain as the only source of moisture. This means that it was crucial to plant crops during the rainy season. It almost meant that they did that to preserve so much water as possible. And so sometimes they would plant their crops. They wouldn't take the rocks out of the field the way it would happen maybe in the Western world or in America. They'd pick those rocks up and they'd build fences with them in America. In Israel, they would leave those rocks in the fields, and they actually would help preserve water and even provide a little shade for some of the plants. And so I believe this is what Jesus has in mind as he's talking about these stony places. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So the seed fell on thin soil. The stony places, it says it quickly sprang up. But then it began to quickly wither and die, which is the case with some who maybe get God's word in and they receive it. And it says they receive it with joy and they're excited about the word. And so they get it. It's really, they're fired up when they get it, perhaps. But it says that when tribulation and persecution come, they quickly fall away. You know, when I became a Christian in Lincoln, Nebraska, a while ago, 1991, there was a Bible study we were doing called Persecution. My campus, and I didn't even understand, it was sort of under hostility. Now, it's interesting because that campus ministry still grew. The ministry grew, and within a year, there was 30, 40 disciples in that campus ministry. But we would do these things called persecution studies with people. And looking at Matthew 10, there is, and, you know, when you are brought before, you know, don't worry about you will say, the Father will give you the words to say. And, of course, we know that all of the Christians receive persecution, were killed. And Timothy says that you will receive persecution. I think I understood that as a young Christian, that to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. I understood that. I expected that to be the case. And of course, living in America, persecution looks very different than some of my brothers and sisters that are over in the Middle East that are making decisions of faith and are being sort of, kicked out of their families and threatened with death. It's a little different, you know, hearing someone, you know, maybe saying bad things about me and put my name in the paper. That's tough for an American, right? I'm not underplaying it at all. I'm just saying it's very different. But you know what I didn't expect? The word tribulation. When defined, it means annoying, frustrated, and even catastrophic events of life. What I did not expect was tribulation. I did not expect to be annoyed and frustrated and even endure some catastrophic events in life. That wasn't a Bible study that we did, you know what I mean? Bro, Christian, being a Christian, you're going to get annoyed. I'm going, what? I would have been like, who's going to annoy me? You know, all these people are awesome. They're hugging you all the time. It's amazing. You know, I didn't realize, I actually thought becoming a Christian that I wouldn't get annoyed so much or frustrated. Something about I came out of the baptism. It's like the music was playing and the doves were all flying, you know. This is just in my head, I thought. I did not expect so much annoyance.
All right.
And so much frustration. And even catastrophic events. I don't know what I thought. I just thought all your problems would go away. Anybody else got baptized and just thought all my problems would go away? Okay, some of y'all been Christians too long, y'all. I thought it would all be good when you get baptized, bro. It's going to be awesome. I don't even use that word awesome, but awesome must be a whole nother level of Christian. I mean, it must be another level of living. And it has been awesome, but there are moments that are annoying. There are moments of frustration. And there still are moments of catastrophic events. Can I just tell you a few things that annoy me? I love my children. Love them. Love, 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 love them. But they drive me crazy sometimes. So annoying. Anybody else got annoying children?
Yeah.
If you're not raising your hand, you are an annoying child, trust me. Just ask your parent. Or you were. But it's only fair because I know I was an annoying child. I know I was annoying. My kids are amazing. They're 100 times better than me. But they still annoy me at times. I still find myself getting frustrated. I get frustrated with things in the church, and I get frustrated with things outside of the church. The older I get, the more I find myself wanting to say, get off my lawn, you know me? I've told you the story about all of these people. There is 5 dogs per human in the South City, St. Louis. I got a neighbor, he's got 2 or 3 dogs. Every morning at like 6 a.m., he lets his dogs go out. They run out as if they have been locked in a cage. And they're just screaming. And they're the other person next door, and they're like, every morning. And I just go, what kind of crazy person does this? Just 6 a.m., everybody, you know, wake up everybody. I'm just going, what? Those are just things, you know. Last night, it's midnight. It's almost midnight. I'm getting ready to go to bed. And, you know, I live in a city, and so Two nights ago, there was a I don't know, I guess they decided they were going to have a shooting gallery down in the city. People were just firing guns. No one got killed, so I guess they were just shooting in the air. I don't know what happened, right? But last night, I'm going to go to bed. It's midnight. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to... I mean, they did the song once. Then they go, happy birthday. I mean, they did like five times. I'm just going, these drunk people, it's midnight. I step out my balcony door. I whistle, hey, hey. They don't hear me. Yes, so I pull the Karen, I call the cops. You know what I mean? I did. Called the cops. I wanted to go to bed. Imagine me on with the dispatcher. I need you to roll a car over here. I got to go to sleep and go to church in the morning is what I'm telling this dispatcher. And the dispatcher's like, okay, I don't care, you know. There's always something, amen. There's always something. But I really thought, I didn't know, and I think the longer I'm a disciple, the more I can find things that frustrate me and things that annoy me. And there are many catastrophic events that are going to happen. I didn't expect me becoming a disciple was going to solve world peace. I didn't, you know. But, you know, yesterday I was sitting at my daughter's event and we were this parent next to me, sitting next to me, we're talking and I just made a comment like, you know, war. He goes, oh, well, don't watch the news. He's, you know, Iran is pointing, nuclear weapons at Israel. I'm going, oh, my goodness, I guess I missed that, you know. I mean, potential catastrophic event. I don't know what's going to happen. I just pray about it. But there are trials or tribulations. But it's interesting because I say these things because in the Christian's life, it's a matter of perspective, right? Because these things are going to come in life. You may not want them to come, but trouble will come your way.
Yeah.
Gonna make you cry sometime.
Yeah.
Lay awake at night. Okay. Yeah. But that's all right because Jesus will fix it. When you sing that, you do realize you're saying what's going to happen. Okay. So when troubles and tribulations and persecutions come our way in life, we should not be surprised. We shouldn't think it's strange that we're enduring things that are just sort of common to man. They're just things that have been common to Christians for all time, for all of eternity. And some of these things that are happening, they might be happening because of your faith. You know, maybe directly happen because you're a disciple, direct persecution. But some of these things are happening for your faith. Amen. They're happening for your faith, because if you don't have these things happen, you won't make it.
All right, come on, Ben.
You just won't make it.
Yeah.
You need the sun to come up and burn you a little bit, amen? You need that. We need that so desperately. We need these moments of annoyance and frustration. And that, dare I say, even a catastrophic events in life. It's just part of it, amen?
Yeah.
But I thought everything would be perfect, but it's not. Nobody told me that, Vince, even if you stick with God's word, you will be annoyed and you will be frustrated. Because that is the reality. And shift gears here for a second. You know, there are a lot of things in life that make people shallow. There are things that tend to make us shallow people. Things that actually, you know, kind of affect us being able to endure these moments of life. There are things that sort of hurt us. They get in the way so that when persecution or trial comes, we're just, oh my God, I can't believe it. There are things that actually, they hurt us. And I think they're very Western. The things that hurt us. Honestly, cultural, societal norms. In our culture, in our societal circles of life, in the West, superficial traits such as appearance and wealth and status are highly valued. We often prioritize these aspects over deeper qualities like character and integrity. How we look matters so much. And it's all around us. It's a cultural thing, and we can be swept up in it. Amen? But also, like we talked about last week, a lack of empathy. I mean, if you grew up in an environment where you don't receive a lot of empathy, and you're not able to show a lot of empathy, which means you're not able to actually feel and sense for the other. You're not able to go there deeply. In fact, it's fearful. It's intimidating to even go there to feel what they feel. To be empathetic for another, it's too difficult. And so it's a lot easier to just kind of stay back. And so we start to then prioritize our own needs and our own desires without even considering the impact they're going to have on others. We just don't care. But media influence as well. Oh, don't we get a lot of that in the U.S.? A lot of media influence, constant exposure to media. Social media, you name it, whatever media it is, but constant exposure to it. It's glorifying selfishness and materialism and physical appearance. Superficial success. Everyone's putting their best on TV, on media. You're always getting the best. Well, if you're watching the network news, they're trying to turn it all bad. But generally speaking, okay? You're getting everyone's best, their perception of their best anyway. Superficial success. And then we begin to prioritize these aspects in our lives, potential leading to more shallow behavior. We know the lives of those people watching on television aren't perfect, but we still go, oh, LeBron James, man, he's so awesome. He's so amazing. Or whoever it might be. You know that guy's life isn't perfect. He's only showing you what he wants you to see.
Amen.
And he's really good at that, okay? But insecurity. We may feel insecure about ourselves. It leads us to focus on external factors such as looks and possessions and roles and positions and even pay and income. Ways to boost our self-esteem and to gain validation for others. If I got paid more, I'd be more. If I got a bigger role, if I became the boss or the manager or whatever, or the partner, whatever it might be, then I would be, then people would know I was somebody. And then I could get that card that says, it says I'm somebody. A lack of introspection. Shallow individuals may not engage in deep self-reflection or introspection, right? Which prevents them from developing a deeper understanding of who they really are, taking the time to really sit with you in silence and really ask yourself some deep questions. We all need that. Other social pressures, peer pressure. I know our teens are dealing with this all the time. Peer pressure, the desire to fit in. I just want to be normal. I don't want to be the odd person. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be the weird person. I don't want people laughing at me. I just want to be normal, whatever that might be. But even fear of vulnerability, we've hit some of these. But when we're shallow, we avoid deep emotions, emotional connections, and meaningful relationships out of fear of being vulnerable and being intimate. It's fearful. And sometimes we can even face this in our marriages, in our households, amongst our children, that feeling of vulnerability. And it doesn't go away. It actually spreads if you don't deal with it, right? But then we begin to prioritize immediate gratifications. Some of us, we prioritize short-term pleasure or instant gratification over long-term fulfillment, right? It leads us to focus on, again, more superficial pursuits rather than deeper and meaningful ones. So how do we overcome shallowness? You go, bro, you okay? Thank you for that. That's a little depressing. Amen. Or these messages are all going to be over depressing. Well, at the end of the day, this guy had a great line. And I was a Rocky 1-2 fan. After that, I just kind of, I quit, okay? But in Rocky 1, there's this great scene when he goes in after he's kind of really thought and reflected and he thinks Apollo Creed, I can't, this guy's amazing. I can't beat him. Carl Weathers, by the way, went to Santa Gus High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. But he goes in, he's with his wife, Adrian. And he sits down and he just says he can't beat him. He says, I can't beat him. I know I can't beat him. He says, all I want to do is go the distance. But no one's ever gone the distance with him. I just want to go the distance. Not a good feeling as a Christian, you know, like, I just want to go the distance as a Christian. Now, I'll take the lumps, I'll take the beating, I'll take the whatever, but I just want to go the distance, you know. I know we all have this glamorous thing, I'm going to be going to heaven, it's going to be, woo-hoo! They're all going to be, I'm going to be walking in like I'm partying. Okay, but that may be true, some of you may get that, but I'm like, if I stagger in there, I'm good with that. Bruised and bloody. I'm okay with that. I just want to go the distance, amen. But what's going to help us? We got to overcome our shallowness. 7 tips that'll help you overcome your shallowness. Ask God to search your heart. Psalm 139 says, search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in a way everlasting.
Amen.
Test my heart. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your heart treasure is, there your heart is also. That's why you got to search your heart. Ask God to search your heart so God can show you what if you really begin to put treasure in his life. The second one is examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? I think even as Christians, we need to be examining ourselves to see, am I still in the faith? Don't just assume it. Amen. But examine yourself. Begin your journey towards depth and authenticity by examining your own thoughts and your own actions and seeking understanding of the ways in which you have fallen short. It's okay. It's okay to admit that I've fallen short. But embrace empathy as well. Do to others as you would have them do to you.
Amen.
Let that be a guiding principle. Put yourself in the place of others. Understand their perspective. Understand their emotions. Understand their experiences. It doesn't mean you have to agree. Empathy does not require that you agree with people. But only that you're curious enough to understand. Let me say that again. This is important for your team. To be empathetic doesn't mean you have to agree. In fact, you can hear them out and go, I completely disagree with that. But I care about you because you're human. Sometimes we're afraid to be empathetic because it means, well, I'm going to be condoning. I'm going to be agreeing with them. I can't even listen to it. You know what I mean? You can be empathetic and still believe that they're wrong. It's a thing. You can do that. Amen. But develop deep relationships. 2 are better than 1. Amen. Because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Man, foster deep, meaningful relationships. Founded on respect and dignity, understanding, empathetic relationships. Invest time and energy into nurturing those bonds. You want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as 2 Peter 3:18 says. Surround yourselves with people who challenge you and inspire you, that exemplify these qualities of depth and authenticity with God. Amen. The 5th one is rejoice. Paul says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Practice and cultivate an attitude of gratitude. The biggest hindrance to my joy is my lack of gratitude. I can be an ungrateful person sometimes. And the more ungrateful I am, the less joyful I am. So you got to practice gratitude. There actually are gratitude practices. You can Google them online where you can actually do 10 things you're grateful for in the morning and in the evening. But I'm going to tell you, if you feel like you've lost your joy, you've got to get back to being grateful. Amen.
Amen.
Push back on societal norms. You know, Romans 12 says, you know, be renewed in your mind. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Challenge the societal norms. Push back on them. Those norms all promote shallowness anyway. They don't get you deeper. Only the Lord gets you deeper, amen? So push back. Don't be so quick to accept everything society is throwing at us, amen? Seven, seek biblical mentoring. If you confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, you'll be healed, the Bible says. You need mentoring. You need relationships. You want to know, okay, what's a good mentor? Find someone that you feel like you can actually confess your sins to. I can really be vulnerable with this person, okay? There's someone that probably will be a great mentor for you. Amen?
Amen?
But these are just a few ways that you can overcome shallowness in your life. And all of us, we can work on these things. And if you do, you will be someone that really, I mean, you move well past shallowness in your life. You'll be an overcomer.
Amen.
But I want you to notice the sower. We're going to end with this. Notice the sower. Sowing generously, sowing lavishly, sowing abundantly. In Lou Garcia's word, magnanimously. Sowing the word. The sower is just sowing. Don't you love that he's just throwing a seed everywhere? Why are you throwing it on rocky soil? You never know what's going to happen. Just sow it, throw it everywhere. But that's a rocky soil. It's just going to spring up. It doesn't matter. The sower is just sowing it. And the seed is the word of God. And so there's plenty of it. Just throw it everywhere. But I don't know if I want to throw it there. Sometimes we do this. What's this next picture? Here's what we want to do when it comes to the word sometimes. Okay? We want to control it. Put it right here. Right here. I want to make sure it's going to grow in a good spot here, right? I don't think that's a picture we're painting. Okay? This may work good for your garden at home, okay? Probably a good idea. But this ain't how God wants us sowing the word of God, amen? He just wants us being generous with it, okay? Just throw it everywhere. That's hard path. Throw it out there anyway, amen? Because isn't that what the sower does? Not trying to control the seed. Not trying to control the soil, okay? Not trying to control anything. The sower is just chucking seed everywhere. Seed chucking. That's country right there. Join the great sower. We have a goal this month. I don't know how it's going, okay? But we have a goal this month. We're going to try to reach out to 30 people this month. And the women will go, we didn't hear that. We weren't here last week. Amen. You know what? It's okay. At this point, we got about 15 more days in a month. If you can get the 30, if you can get the 10, if you can get the 15. If you didn't share with anybody last month and you can get the 5, hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
But sow God's seed. I want you to know that there are people in the world, they are like this, but it's not up to us to control the soil, okay? And it's not up to us to control the seed.
Right.
Just sow generously. And if you're struggling in your faith or if you're at a place that's you've been a little bit funky, amen, take this in. This is the beauty of this parable because no matter where you're at, if you're not a Christian, if you've never heard the word before, if you've been a Christian for 30, 40 years, you're going, hey, man, I still could be a little bit, I could still be a little bit thin soiled, amen?
Yeah.
Let's take God's word. Let's take it in and let's grow from it, amen?
Amen.
I had a closing there. I can't read it. My computer shut off. So let's go ahead and pray.
Amen.
Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for hearing our listening to us in prayer. Thank you, God, for your word. God, help us to be strong in our faith. Help us to have a deep resolve, deep conviction. God, help us to overcome wherever we're at. God, I know we can find ourselves in each of these soils. God, we can find ourselves in the good soil as well. So, God, I pray that we will just kind of show grace, Father, to one another. God, grace, Father, to the lost people around us. But God, help us to be gracious, Father, also to ourselves. Father, and God, lead us. God, help us to take time to really look deep within. And God, I beg you, God, that you will search all of us and know our hearts, God. If there's anything in us that shouldn't be, God, please point it out to us and help us to be eager and excited to change that, Father. All because we love you and we want to give glory to you. And we want to join you in this great mission of sowing seeds and helping as many as possible come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Dave Dewey is going to come up now and lead us in communion.